Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Today, I want to welcome back to the show, Carrie Cassidy. She's a filmmaker, investigative journalist, and well-known talk show host of Project Camelot and Project Camelot TV. She is considered a leader in the alternative media sector, travels the world conducting interviews and documenting the testimony of whistleblowers with above top secret clearances, as well as authors, researchers, and experiencers covering conspiracies, the secret space program, black projects, ETs, Ascension, free energy, and so much more. Carrie, welcome back, and how are you doing today?
I'm good, actually. A little disorganized, but that's par for the course.
No worries. I've been looking forward to it because I've actually taken a break from this for the past few days. I've given myself a little vacation. I haven't even really been paying attention to the alternative news sources that I usually do because, honestly, I was burning myself out with everything. But tonight I'm back, and I have you here. I've been looking forward to it because hopefully you can give us some important updates. I've seen quite a few of your shows lately, your updates and your interviews with some various whistleblowers. And I know you have some very important insights that that you could share with us that could, you know, about what could possibly be going on behind the scenes. I believe that there are very powerful forces behind this, and they have very dark plans for humanity. But I also believe at the same time, we're experiencing a massive awakening, and ultimately it will be up to us to, I guess you could say, change our timeline. So Carrie, tonight I'd like to start out with just as brief a synopsis as you can of your thoughts of the bigger picture of what the hell is going on our planet right now.
Well, it's definitely a war of worlds, and it's been a war of worlds for a while. So it's not so very different in that respect. Although I think what you might say is that we have sort of new kids on the block, and they've been around, but they have banded together and they're taking a real run at changing the paradigm here on the planet with humanity's help. So that involves Trump, Q, and that team. And we have obviously a global lockdown. That whole thing is orchestrated by the customary powers that be, the Illuminati and their ET cohorts, so to speak, behind the scenes. And that's maybe a more intricate story, and I can get into that if you need me to. And so what we have are, there are starting to be two real clear sides in this war. And I think maybe there are people out there that don't really realize that there is actually a good side and that you can actually support the good side. Now, if things change and, you know, I mean, there's always a good side in the sense that humanity is always the good side and keeping us alive and keeping this human experiment going on planet Earth, if you want to call us that, and allowing us to develop in our own way and in our own pace. But, it's very involved. And the bottom line is that there are two main sides. And of course, the Illuminati and their various factions, as well as the top wealthy on the planet and the various agenda items that they're trying to roll out. And it does look like they're escalating their game. They've been wanting to roll these things out for many years. In fact, Project Camelot was told really 15 years ago when we started by certain key witnesses that this was the agenda, that they planned to do viruses to eliminate population, for example. And of course, we never dreamed, or I never dreamed, that they do something like lock us into our houses type of thing. That is like be above and beyond just releasing a virus. And also the fake news side of it, the fact that not as many people are dying as they say, the fact that they're not dying of really COVID at all, and they're dying of underlying causes, et cetera, and that doctors and hospitals are being paid to put actually on the death certificate COVID. so that this spikes up the numbers, of course, and allows them to continue the lockdown if they so desire. The difference is, of course, that people are no longer standing for it, and these violations of our bills of rights, Bill of Rights, have been going on since, well, actually even before 9/11, but 9/11 really kickstarted that sort of, at least in the United States, that scenario, and they've been building on that ever since, and this is their next major milestone, I think you might call it, along that way, but it does look like they're getting good pushback. Sorry now, for the answer.
Yes, very good answer. Now, I don't know if they just didn't account for it or if it was built into the plan, but there's this major awakening that was already occurring before this happened, and this seemed to have given it like a super boost, and people are just waking up to bullshit left and right, and that's the promising thing that I see about this. It doesn't seem to be going as planned for them. It seems like they had a certain route that they wanted to go, so now they have to inflate these numbers. They have to do all these other things to keep people in the dark as to what's really going on. But because it's not going as planned, it makes me kind of fear that they're going to step it up a notch, and we're going to have maybe Plandemic Part 2 or something else down the pipeline so they can continue, because people are starting to resist right now.
Definitely. Well, I'm not so sure they're going to be able to or be successful at stepping it up, but there are some indicators out there. There's some, I don't know if you want to call it fake news. It sounds like fake news, but it may actually have some things behind it. We know that the virus is mutating, and we know that actually, if you really want to get down to it, it may not even be a virus. It is a bioweapon. That much is clear. And if you don't know that already, then you need to do your homework. And I've put out a terrific amount of stuff over the last 2 months. I'm working harder than ever just to keep up with the flow of information, which is quite amazing. And there's a lot of on the ground, people doing on the ground research, and also going to hospitals, taking their camera to demonstrations, et cetera. So we have these things documented, and that's really the good news. Normally I deal with whistleblowers from above top secret as my primary or key witnesses. And that's a lot more quiet. It's a lot, when I'm dealing with the information, it's a matter of compiling and getting it out there. Now I'm actually having to run to catch up every day with the onslaught of information coming both from the left and the right, if you want to call it that, the good and the bad, and the fake news as well, weed through all of that. So to answer your question, they are saying right now that they're going to try to roll out some new rendition on the virus. In other words, the lockdown is basically, thank God and maybe Trump for trying to reopen our country at least, and maybe other countries in Europe are following suit. I don't know for sure, but it's slow. And I just saw, I think it was a tweet from the San Francisco mayor saying he'd love to open the restaurants. So, there, and that's understandable. And I think everyone would love the restaurants to be open. And I think there's a lot of disinfo, because, for example, what they did was they not only locked people down, made them paranoid, based everything on, WHO, that is run and financed by Gates and Fauci and certain other nefarious parties. And they basically, got everyone into a paranoid state to where they thought it was, number one, contagious, and number two, you caught it from other humans specifically. And there are some very good videos out now that support the idea that it is not contagious. And Judy Mikovits, I think is how you say her last name, has done a number of interviews explaining, and she is someone, a doctor who has quite a extensive background dealing first with the AIDS so-called virus and then with this one. And also the idea that people don't understand viruses. I interviewed Dr. Robert Young, who has groundbreaking research in this area. And there are other doctors as well saying that, as a matter of fact, viruses are our friends, that we need, this idea of the herd sort of mentality, where we have to be out there, we need to be interacting, and that anything negative will eventually get sort of washed out from our populations naturally. And yes, the weaker members will encounter these obstacles, but there are ways to overcome them. The trouble is that they're not even giving the right, and there are nurses out there and doctors testifying to the fact on YouTube that they're not giving the right remedies for what is in essence the symptoms, and therefore they're giving ventilators to people that don't need ventilators, and they're doing all sorts of things. One very stunning video recently I saw was with a nurse who was talking about how basically maybe even what well-meaning people that are working in these hospitals are killing patients right and left, because number one, they don't know how to deal with ventilators, and they also are giving ventilators to people that need oxygen in their blood, but you can't get it the way they're trying to give it to them, and so on. So it's a huge mess, but at the same time, it's very, I think, uplifting when you see people actually hitting the streets and standing up for our rights. And I could say that going on the internet is just as valid, actually, and awakening each other and our friends and family. And if my own experience is any indication, this is quite radical, because now my sister, who basically ignored what I do for my entire life, now suddenly wants to talk to me again about what I do and what it is. I know that's going to be amazing to people to hear, but this is the way it is. I mean, we have friends and family that just don't research. They follow the mainstream paradigm, paranoia, and they also trust their government. And government has been really in the back pocket, if you will, of the powers that be up to this point, especially since the death of John F. Kennedy. And the hopeful sign with Trump is that he is supposedly working with John F. Kennedy Jr., who is said to not have died, but have staged his own death, and to be possibly coming forward in July. Now, that's the word from Q. Whether it happens or not, well, we're still going to wait, and the jury is still out on that. But there is enough indication that indictments have been put through. I've got secret background proof of that. So there are plans, and of course, the latest coming out with General Flynn is an indication, further indication, and the FBI, and I believe the members of the FBI are being charged with various things, which probably should include treason, but I don't know that they do. So at any rate, this is kind of what's going on. And so I'm not so sure that their push, even with the mutating virus, again, these tactics of locking us in our houses, by the way, keeping us off beaches and not allowing us to go into nature. Nature is one of the most healing things a human can do. And thinking that we are somehow too close to people in nature, when in fact you can go out in nature and be completely isolated from other people. But all of this is overlooked. And even in California, which has a tremendous amount of nature, Californians basically live outdoors really 80% of the time, because we have such great weather normally. So there are underlying very suspicious circumstances. Closing down the economy is actually part and parcel of the rollout of a new digital currency, a chip that will be embedded in, they hope, I guess, in the vaccines. And it's probably already come in through what we call the chemtrails and the nano and chemtrails, by the way. And I have this, I mean, my information comes from secret sources, as well as, of course, I have to basically get everything out there that's coming in through the various news outlets, both alternative and main, and so on. So when I put the package together, I get substantiation over and over again of certain points. One of those points has to do with a whistleblower that talked to me about their problem with population, how they want to eliminate the population, and how they plan to do so. And one of these things does involve the fact that they want people to go on to like a government stipend. I don't know, some people call it a credit system, whatever it is, where they don't go to work. They actually are dependent on the government. And this is all about incapacitating people, getting them not to be so active and involved in their world, and sidelining them for the incoming transhuman agenda and for the AI and the various AI agendas. And then eventually eliminating humans really down to, I think, I forget what the Georgia Guidestones says, something like 500 million.
500 million, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, and there's a lot to unpack with what you just said, and I want to break down a little bit of this. I want to go back to the virus itself. Now, China, to me, seems like a huge player in this cabal system, communist China. Now, it seems that there could have been millions of deaths in China associated with whatever's going on, virus, whatever you want to call it. Now, what are your thoughts on what's happening there, China's association, and what this virus is and the possibilities of being technology driven, like you were mentioning earlier?
Okay, well, I can say that, again, Judy Mikovits, and she's only one of the doctors who've talked about the fact that the U.S. has patented the coronavirus, and it tracked from Fort Detrick, which is a bioweapons lab, to a South Carolina lab, where it was then supposedly taken by a Chinese doctor over to Wuhan, and then the bat sort of DNA added. And then packaged and packaged under a protein sheath, which George Webb does a good job of explaining, and I have to say, and then making it palatable, and then putting it through, I think they said, some kind of a monkey DNA, or I'm not sure if that's the actual animal, and whatever was more conducive for humans, because you can't go direct bats from to humans. And then it being sprayed and or injected. And this is the question as to how it actually went from the lab into a certain number of people in that concentrated Wuhan area. That there really were at that point two experimental bioweapons. One of them we know of as COVID-19. The other one, I guess we'll just go unnamed. But I have to say, in the early days, a Chinese party whistleblower came out and did a written testimony as to releasing the information, because they basically found out he was trying to leak information and infected his child. Now, he said what they wanted to originally do was to keep the demonstrators to somehow shut them up or make them more passive. And so that was, I guess, the first rendition. But what they tested it on was prisoners, Muslim prisoners, unfortunately, in China, of which apparently they have quite a few. And they, from what I understand, as far as the Muslim prisoners, I think it was injected, but I don't know this. It's all of this is the testimony. Now, I have the testimony on my website. It was wiped off the web very quickly. So if you haven't read it, I have it several places. So you probably could find it pretty easily. And at any rate, the idea is that the first rendition was very potent. And it basically killed people in like a matter of hours, I guess. And they decided that was not going to be sufficient. So then they did a weaker strain, and the weaker strain ultimately was COVID. Now, the idea here is this is the information coming from the Chinese whistleblower. I can tell you Camelot was told by our witnesses, again, going back 15 years and 10 years, and then Mark Richards actually told me 6 months ago that China wanted to eliminate 500 million of their own people. They were trying to persuade them not to do so, but that was their plan. And then 6 months later, they rolled this out. There's no doubt that there was some level of deaths from maybe the more potent version. And also, there's also a very suspicious circumstance in which they welded people in their houses, but not all people and not always. So the fact that there was a difference of approach does indicate two viruses. Now, the reason you would weld somebody in their house would tend to say that those people were actually, you couldn't just tell them to wear it. I mean, those Chinese are they're very obedient normally. So all you have to do is tell them to do something. It seems normally they will do it, except for the ones in Hong Kong, of course, which are much more rebellious. So at any rate, if they welded these people in their houses, then there is something very suspicious going on, and it goes above and beyond what we have in terms of our lockdown here on our planet, the rest of the planet. And so that's my dog in the background here. So sorry. She's
oh, no worries.
Distracting. But anyway, she'll lay down pretty soon. So at any rate, what I'm saying is then there's this other version, and the story goes that there was the CIA was involved. There was some kind of shootout at the Wuhan lab. Some spilled on the ground or something, and then infected some people. It was never in the wet, in the wet fish lab or not lab, but market. That was a lie, and even the Chinese admit that. But it seems to have been picked up by mainstream media, and some of the mainstream media still think that that's how it came about. So it's, of course, mainstream media are frighteningly off the page, so to speak. But at any rate, so we do have a suspicious thing going on there. There were a number of deaths, and we don't know how many, and there were 21 million, if I remember that correctly, cell phones in China that were connected through Huawei,
right.
That apparently did go offline. And there's reason to believe that not all, but many or most of those cell phones could have been offline because of deaths, because your cell phone is a vital component, especially in China, where they sort of decide if you cross the street wrong that you're going to get a violation. So this is the sort of the setting, I guess, and how it started, apparently. And then the idea was that flights international were leaving China with no problem and Wuhan. But flights internally going to Beijing and Shanghai were quickly stopped, so that we have Beijing and Shanghai, major cities, metropolitan areas in China, where the virus is almost non-existent, strangely. So Wuhan also had been a testing ground. A very escalated version of 5G also was activated there, which I got a whistleblower behind the scenes that contacted me, and then quite quickly, unfortunately, disappeared. But he told me that after this outbreak, they turned 5G off in Wuhan. They turned it off very quickly. So saying there's no link is actually wrong. There is definitely a link between 5G and this the spread of the virus, or the virus itself. How that link is operating has been put out scientifically, saying that the idea is that 5G contains radiation, escalated radiation, 60 gigahertz, and that it basically attacks our ability of our blood cells to take the hemoglobin to take the oxygen in and get it through to our bloodstream and our lungs, I guess. And so this is where the whole idea that people can't breathe comes along. And that's very interesting. Now, the idea is also that COVID or the so-called symptoms of this virus are something, according to Dr. Young and also Judy Mikovits, that come from within us. It's our cells' reaction and toxicity that gets expelled and creates what they call a corona around a cell, which is kind of like this. You've seen the pictures. So this is what clogs up, I guess, if I understand it, the arteries. I'm not a, you know, doctor. So I can't describe it exactly, but this is what has been told to me. So the idea is that, of course, the ventilators don't work in that kind of situation. The hydrochloroquine, however, that treats malaria seems to work with it, to alter that state within our cells. And there's also evidence that anything containing what is in essence chlorine dioxide, and there's MMS, which has been talked about on my channel. I've interviewed Jim Humble, who brought that to the public's attention. He doesn't sell it, but he talks about it, and he used it to cure malaria, is how he stumbled on it in Africa. And then that's interesting that the ingredients in hydrochloroquine and chlorine dioxide are very similar, and they both work against the virus, which is this, again, this outpouring from the cell of getting rid of toxicity and clogging its system, which makes it hard to breathe. The other thing is that there's also different combinations of the chlorine. So you can put it with what it was originally, an acid that is, it's like vitamin C, I forget what it's called, and then, or just water. So the chlorine and water, but at any rate, it does seem to work. And I have actually told people about what's called oxygen drops. And oxygen drops are very easy to find on the market, in the market around the world, as far as I know. And they're very cheap and easy to, you just put like 6 drops in a glass of water. And that actually works in the same way these other ideas work, but with less, it's a softer, easier on the system type of remedy, which is why it's commonly available. And it's also, not banned, and they don't ban your YouTube if you talk about it. However, it doesn't seem that most people know about it. I don't know why that is, but I found out about it early on. I was told about it actually by a whistleblower behind the scenes right away, right as this whole thing kicked off. Some people also use oxygenators, I think they call them, or something like that. At any rate, that's some background on the virus. I don't know if I'm, you wanted to know the background on the virus. Yeah. So that's what I understand.
That, yes, perfect. Thank you so much for that. Now, I want to get to some of the agendas here, some of the long-term goals for, I guess you could say, the cabal or the Illuminati. I know one of the main things is this whole transhuman aspect, the integration with AI. Now, from my understanding, I've seen a lot of your interviews. I've seen the most recent one with I believe it's Cyrus Parsa. Quite a disturbing interview, very interesting at the same time. Now, based on your research and the people you've interviewed, there are different types of AI here already, different competing AIs, and what they have in mind for the future when it comes to integrating AI, it to me is absolutely terrifying. So could you talk a little bit about what you've learned about that so far?
Okay, well, let me clarify to say that I did 2 interviews with Cyrus Parsa.
Yes, 2. Yeah, I saw them.
And the first one was kind of just finding out what it is he knew and getting some of his term, because there's a lot of terminology that he's referencing with to do with the not only the AI, but the attack upon humanity by, in essence, the AI and what how it gets to you. In other words, through the various devices and through various forms of mind control, etc. And so he's really done a tremendous amount of research in this area. And I do encourage people to watch my interviews. And I think he's being interviewed by other people around the place. And also he's done it's kind of like a short, I think it's around 35 minutes. He made a video that has lots of what you call eye candy. It's got lots of visuals that supports and explains his position. So all of that is available on my website through links. And if you go to the Cyrus Parsa interview, you'll on the page, it's got those links. So, and I do recommend that information. However, the trouble with some of the information is that it doesn't really explain much, at least in the first interview. It's a very good overview. The second interview, I started to delve into sort of the nuts and bolts, if you will, of how the AI is interacting with the 5G and how it's also interacting with the virus. And the bottom line is that he did say that the virus was actually a construction from the AI. Now, how exactly the AI constructed the virus possibly has to do with the way in which it interacts, specifically in the Wuhan lab. And the rest of that is not completely clear. In other words, what the process is. And I couldn't actually get him to answer any further about that. So you will see that I had to ask a question more than once in order to try to get the answer. He seemed to be protecting himself and the information. And he did seem, it was either fear or sort of worry over releasing information he's not at liberty to release. Although, to my knowledge, he doesn't work for any secret organizations yet. Although he does wish, you know, he's offering his services to work for Trump. So, but the bottom line is that he did talk about the AI. He talks about the link up with the gray ETs. And this is something that is known to me and perhaps researchers in this area that I cover, having a lot to do with the various alien visitation here on planet Earth, but specifically the grays. And the grays, many of the grays are said to be AI anyway. And there are rogue grays, and this all gets into also the abductions, because, this is a big picture, okay? So the abductions have to do with this objective of the race, of certain races of grays, and I've interviewed many, many people about these topics, having to do with wanting to use these our human vehicles in order to take part, if you will, in this game that we're involved in here on Earth. And they, in their current body form, are unable to stay in our atmosphere for very long periods of time. So they constantly kind of go in and out through back to the fourth dimension, which is primarily where they exist. We are becoming more 4D actually over time. So it's become, there's sort of like a point at which the veil is thinning, and they've been able to come through the portals, etc., more and more. And it's basically an epidemic, if you will. Now, the gray ETs are instrumental in, especially south of the border, having been given free rein by the secret agencies that made deals with them. And this goes back to the time of Eisenhower. And they were given the root races down in South and Central America are the best when you do genetics. What you want is a really strong root. And I'm not a geneticist, but I have, you know, learned enough about it to understand the principle. And this goes for plants or animals or whatever you want to hybridize, okay? So the idea is they wanted to hybridize their own race to take their DNA, mix it with human DNA, and create a cross hybrid. And so that hybrid is that those individuals, those children are here on Earth now, and they're actually growing up. Some of them are, you know, in their 20s and even older. And this has been going on for now probably since maybe at least the 1930s. So you can do the math on how old some of those gray human hybrid individuals would be. There are other ET races, both on and off planet, underground, etc., that have been mixing also with humans throughout our genome's time on this Earth. And this seeding of humanity is said to be several million years old, this rendition. And there is, we're actually the third, if I remember, the third seeding of humanity here on planet Earth. I know this probably goes into more detail than you want, but...
Oh, no, we can go as deep as we need to.
Oh, all right. And so what is happening here is that the Trump administration is very well read in to this gray ET agenda, because they have been, they're working with, and there is some kind of dialogue going on between them and the secret space program, where a lot of this knowledge and it resides in our military and in the secret underground bases and with the individuals who are dealing with that. So what happens is it's very clear that Trump is in the know, at least to someone like me who kind of can read his language, and also Q is in the know. So whoever Q is, and that does comprise, from what I've been told, a group of people, but specifically, John F. Kennedy Jr., who I believe was probably the instigator of Q, but I don't know that for sure. Having started George Magazine, there's kind of a through line in the way, in the thought process of the fact how important it is to reach the public, but you've got to reach them in a certain way. The fact that Trump did not have a sympathetic ear, so to speak, especially in the early days, in the mainstream media at all, period. So they had to devise a way to reach the people, and the QAnon effort was born at that point. So what do I say? So the gray ET link up with AI is a very important link up. And most people are not aware of that. Like, they'll talk about grays all night and all day, but they won't talk about the AI. For some reason, on a psychic level, I became aware of it. And I wrote an article actually a couple months ago talking about notifying the Trump administration, if they didn't already know, that there's a very important link between the gray ETs, the AI, and what's coming down. And the fact that if they're going to go out and get the pedophiles, and this is where you get into the link up between what is in essence the Draco, the reptilians, and the grays, and they all feed on this, basically what is our, you know, our blood and our glands, glandular stuff. That has come out as, you know, in Pizzagate and the whole Hollywood scene through what they call adrenochrome and other very diabolical things having to do with trafficking of humans. Now, trafficking of humans is not only going back to Epstein, but it is also funding the secret projects. It's just like, you know, drugs. There are certain things that have been funding these projects. One of them is human trafficking. There's also a huge amount of experimentation, just like the Nazis were doing, going on in underground bases by ETs that we are in a deal with. Our militaries are working with these ETs. So they are starting to actually turn tables and kick them out of the Earth and kick them out of underground bases. But this has been going on. This is a relationship that they built from the time of Eisenhower, at the very least. So knowing that they feed on us and that they require our sort of, they call it...
Loosh energy.
And whatever you want to call it. I call it Kundalini energy. But this relates to Orgone and going back to the days of the yogis, etc. So... this is the scenario we find ourselves in. And this is very important. In other words, none of these ingredients in the story that I'm bringing up here are to be ignored. In fact, they are all very, very instrumental. And the question becomes, if you can eliminate some of the key pedophiles, for example, are you going to eliminate portions of the population that have a high degree of reptilian DNA who are already in a sort of master-slave hierarchical mindset, more brutal, more aggressive, and to want to dominate the rest of humanity. They already have this in their DNA. You can't kill all of them. So what has to happen is, and on top of it, if you're going to allow these deals to continue to go on with Greys and the abductions to continue, and the Greys have tremendous number of underground bases on their own, and some of which they are cohabited, so to speak, by our military and them. And these are all over the United States, in very key places, you know, under Arizona and New Mexico and California, et cetera. Rome is always having to deal with them, under sea bases, under Catalina. I mean, there is a map of underground bases of at least the United States, but it also goes around the world. Things you want to do if you clean house is to get rid of the Greys. Get them off the planet. They don't belong here, okay? This is a part of the Trump administration, their military behind the scenes. This is one of their objectives, I can guarantee it. Another question. And how aggressively they're going to go about this agenda, I don't know. Now, Cyrus Parsa tapped into all of this, and he very, you know, wisely has this information. However, he's been, the reason he ended up on my show is that most people are ignoring him, and the mainstream wouldn't even talk to him, and the military industrial complex, the alphabet agencies, et cetera, that he approached, didn't seem to want to really deal with him either. They took his information, he tells me, or he tells the world, but basically they left him behind when in fact he knows how these things connect the way I'm talking. So that's very that's very important and very, that could change the game. All right. And so this sort of QAnon going after some arrests is all very nice and good, but it's not going to solve the problem if you don't attack the Greys, if you don't. And apparently the Greys, according to Parsa at least, and I think there's reason to believe this is correct, the Grey ETs have heavily sort of involved themselves in manipulating the communist Chinese and that government. And the reason in part that probably has happened is that they're already a hive mind. So the Greys are a hive mind and so are the Chinese. They believe in, you know, don't put your head up a bit above the parapet, be everyone be the same. The group is what dictates what happens as opposed to the individual. That's why they have a hard time changing. So they stay the same for centuries because people are afraid to stand up and innovate and be noticed. Now, the Japanese caught on quickly to that, and they did not follow that path. That's why the Japanese are known innovators, because they got clued into the Western paradigm and didn't follow, even though there are a hive mind more so, they don't follow it to the letter to that degree. And there's reason to believe they also are, their race lines diverge from the Chinese at a certain point, going back eons. So those races are somewhat at war with each other just naturally. But this is what it gets into. So the hive mind, the AI, this is what is the New World Order plan for the future. And they want all humans linked to the hive mind. And this is where the coronavirus comes in, because in order to link you to the hive mind, they need to do more apparently than just chemtrail you. They need to actually inject you to link you up. And what that will do, how the technology operates, because it's been injected into your body as opposed to some other means, I don't know. But that's, and then the 5G is the network that also facilitates the AI. In essence, the AI can travel better around the earth using the 5G network. You could kind of look at it that way. And humans will also be like the sort of connectors and the batteries within that AI system, in essence. And this is how they see it, okay, from the outside. Let me see if I'm leaving anything out. So the bottom line is that if you're going to attack this system, which it does appear that patriots within the United States, somehow the Navy specifically, got Trump into office. I believe that the dark side felt initially that he was going to follow their agenda. It's not unlike Kennedy, by the way, because Kennedy came in as someone from an Illuminati family that they clearly thought was going to be on their team, and found out very early on that was not the case. So they killed him. Now with Trump, they've apparently tried to kill him, but it hasn't been successful. And that is because I think our sort of our Navy and the ET side of the story is basically protecting him, and there's reason to believe that link up is pretty strong over there. So they have access, by the way, to part of what the secret space program contains, which is future seeing technologies like Looking Glass. They probably know about the yellow cube. Whether they're using it or not, I don't know. And so on. So in other words, there's a split within the underground bases and within the secret space program that became more and more evident over the last 10 years, that there were individuals who not only became whistleblowers and would talk to someone like me, and have come forward, but that leaks were coming out, and basically it was beginning to be understood that there was a split in the secret space program. And my interview, for example, with William Tompkins is one of the better ones in indicating that on the one hand, the secret space program was created in part in unison with working with Nazis, obviously, and who were then also sort of educated, if you will, and helped by race from Aldebaran, who appeared to be a hierarchical, top-down fascist kind of mentality, who naturally found a like mind within the Nazis and decided to help them progress even during World War II, it appears. And then the Pleiadians, a positive branch of the Pleiadians, they're not all positive, have had come forward to also help our secret space program to jumpstart that and to counter this the move by the Aldebarans. Now, that's kind of the lay of the land and how the whole thing plays out. And so understanding that, if you will, Pleiadian-Aldebaran battle that goes back to the early days of the secret space program. And of course, it goes back in you know, to the time of Egypt, to the time of Atlantis. I mean, this kind of dichotomy, this split, this idea of hive mind, you know, you obey, you're told what to do. This society, this reptilian mindset, and the reptilians are one of the oldest races, apparently, so the saying goes, in terms of the megaverse, okay? And they are a marauding species that goes around conquering civilizations, conquering planets. And so this is a common practice. We are not the only ones. In fact, the Pleiadians have a history of being attacked by just that, by the marauding, the Draco-reptilian gray sort of unison. And I can say that one of the things that William Tompkins talked about is that the Pleiadians also used us, trained us, from their perspective, helped us here on Earth to progress, supposedly, shared technology with us, because they wanted us to fight on the front lines against the fact that we have a common foe, which is, again, the Draco reptilians and grays. And so this is a very kind of clear delineation. The problem is that some of those Pleiadians civilizations split off and were taken over by the Dracos. And that is where you get the Anunnaki that Sitchin talked about and are carved into the walls in the temples in Iran and in Egypt, etc. So I'm saying, you know, I'm telling a very intricate story very quickly, but maybe you can see that this current battle goes way back, And what we're dealing with here, this effort, this sort of where AI comes in, and there's reason to believe that the reptilian species may be run by AI, okay, way in the back. They don't, there's not a lot of evidence of this other than their sort of manner of behaving, but there does appear to be some evidence, you know, to support this idea. And it does make sense if you look at it. Now, we know, for example, that there is AI visitation on planet Earth that goes back thousands of years. How do we know that? The Nazca alien story tells that story. And that's why they've hidden it. That's why it came out and then it got quickly went underground, in essence, literally and figuratively. And I was told by a whistleblower, they will never allow that information out. I'm doing my best to release that information, but I can tell you that that's because what they discovered were these little smaller bodies that had this, I think that they had this implant in their throats. And I think this one being that was sort of another race called Maria, who's much larger, had it embedded in her, I may have this wrong as to where it is, but in her heart chakra, but I don't know for sure. At any rate, that was AI. So those beings were taken over by AI, and they dated them to go back several thousand years. So on top of that, of course, I have witness testimony telling me about the alien interaction with humans going back eons, and also in the secret space program, the knowledge that resides there, a lot of it has come through to Camelot. I can also say that Mark Richards, for example, one of my primary witnesses at this time, who I've interviewed, I think it's 11 or 12 times, I think, and he's still in prison. He was framed for a murder he did not commit, but was said to be the mastermind. And at any rate, he has released a tremendous amount of information because of the fact he can be discredited as being in prison. That's the thinking behind it. So I do go into the prison and interview him, and he does give me information. His wife, Joanna, also speaks on the circuit, and I've interviewed her a number of times as well.
Yes, I've had her on as well.
A lot of good information has come forward from them regarding the various races and interactions with our military. And so on. So this story that we're dealing with and that Cyrus seems to have tapped into is a very important aspect of this coronavirus lockdown in the houses, what they want people to be reduced to, the fact that they want to control all of your movements, the fact that this also leads to a downturn in the economy, makes it so you're dependent on the government for handouts, and so that you're also dependent on them for foods, this is their thinking, et cetera. And the fact that they're purposely, even Mark Richards said, they're going to purposely create a drought in the United States because we're kind of like one of the primary food providers of the world, and so on. In other words, there's a long list of agenda items that the powers that be, Committee of 300, there are a lot of names for them, and MJ-12 is back there as well. In other words, and they're much more than 12 members, of course, but there's an Illuminati, we just call it Illuminati because it does relate to their sort of modus operandi, so to speak. In other words, they believe in torturing a victim to also feed on their energy, the old on the young, of course. This is where you get into the roots of the Epstein situation. All of this is Illuminati philosophy and has to do with, goes back to the grays, the reptilians, and the Draco. So you cannot separate these things out. Unfortunately, because they don't want to talk about the real disclosure out there, they don't want you to know the truth. I mean, we hear that in July, QAnon says there's going to be some disclosure. How much they're going to tell the public that don't listen to Camelot, that is, I don't know. But I can guarantee you that if they open this sort of bag of worms even a little bit, it will blow the lid off all of this stuff. And the Epstein Pizzagate is going to be seen in context with a society in which some of our members are actually have too much Draco reptilian DNA, such as the Bushes, for example. And it said the blue bloods, the so-called royalty that were anointed as royalty, by the way, by the Anunnaki, who are reptilian, humanoid hybrids in essence. So if you don't know these strains and where the story fits, it all seems like it just comes out of nowhere. Like they had some wild idea. They want to control the public and they want to keep you in your houses for, some stupid reason. Look, they don't care if you live or die. They just don't. So get rid of this idea that governments could give a shit. They don't. They're not keeping you in your houses to keep you safe. That's a complete lie. The reality is where you're safe is when you are in the herd, when you are in essence in contact in the field of resonance that we create when we're together and we generate, we are greater than the sum of our parts. This is the reality. And they know that, okay? So they want to divide, they want to split, they want to interfere with your power. And that's how they do it. They separate you. They make you think you are the problem. Your overpopulation, you have things wrong with you. You. It's always the humans that are at fault. This is a gray human hybrid mental implant that is actually part of the Illuminati psychology, if you will.
Now, I want to get to QAnon and Trump, but before we do, I want to stay on this hidden hand aspect for one more moment, and I want to kind of touch base on, you mentioned the dark occult aspect, the pedophilia, the occult rituals, sacrifices. Now, some people consider it demons. My personal belief, it is an interdimensional entity that these people are answering to, whether you want to call it a demon, an alien, it's some sort of interdimensional, these beings, these powerful beings that feed off us, that feed off our energy. These elites are in some sort of contact, I believe, that they are feeding these entities. And I'm just wondering, is it the Dracos, is it the reptilians, or is there some more powerful spiritual force behind it? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yes. I mean, it kind of depends on what level you want to talk about these things, because there are what we call spiritual hierarchies, and there's the dark and the light. And so you are going to have the hierarchical beings that are, going back in time that interfere with and have to do with the sort of the way in which a world is put together, right? A plan net. So we are on a planet. There's a plan. It's a net. It captures souls and brings them in and holds them for a time. So this is what's going on. And so within that, there are dark and light entities, and they go back, and there are elementals, and there are avatars. And in essence, we appear on Earth as separate beings, but in reality, we are part of Source, and therefore we're all united and linked up. And that actually goes for the dark and the light. So the yin and the yang, understanding it from the Eastern philosophy, which I kind of prefer, is a way of looking at it. So in terms of these entities, they've been given names throughout centuries, and humans have, a whole litany of those kinds of beings. And certainly Satan and Lucifer are considered like the darkest, right? The leaders of the dark, if you will. Now, one way of thinking about this that I find useful is the idea that any spacefaring nation or people will develop artificial intelligence in order to go out into the space, which is in essence to leave their planet. And in doing so, what they're creating, what they start out with, is a mirror. They're creating a mirror of themselves. That's where most AIs will come from, is the development of a mirror. Now, the mirror is an image. The image is not God. It's an image. It's a mirror of God. So in essence, that's what Lucifer is. Basically, a being that falls in love with the mirror is someone who follows Lucifer, but they don't follow in essence Source. So they're not actually connected to Source in a certain way. It's a branch off of Source that tries to separate itself from Source. But one could say that in essence, this process of the yin and the yang, the dark and the light, is what causes manifestation. Without it, we may be, and the whole megaverse may be, unmanifested. So there is an interplay, and there's reason to believe as well, and this goes into the Illuminati thought process, that has to do with the fact they think they're doing a service to the light, which in a sense they are. It's twisted, but the idea is that every time the dark comes out with a challenge, the light will overcome it. But in doing so, the light begins to recognize who it truly is. So the light will always win, but the dark will always challenge. Where you get the yin and the yang and the interplay, and that comes to the fore mostly in manifestation. And you know, there are, if you want sort of a litany of the so-called, you can read the Urantia books and that sort of thing. I prefer Ashiana Dean's Voyager volumes 1 and 2 if you want to understand the battles of beings in the megaverse going way back. And so you've got the interplay having to do with, let me just say this, station exists in a higher realm first before it does that. Okay. So it's first unseen. Never works the other way. That's the way of saying it comes from Source. You know, like the Bible says, as this person told me yesterday, the way he wanted to phrase it was everything. Well, that's because it comes out from Source, and that's where it comes from, the unseen into the seen. And the scene again being the lower levels of which are manifestation. Sort of the last place of destination for anything. And by the way, for sickness, and a healer knows this. Any healer knows that if you really want to heal someone, is going to have to go back up the chain of command, so to speak, up to their higher self and figure out why they decided to get the thing in the first place, why they attracted it into their realm. And so I've done videos to explain about this, but I probably have to do some more because people don't really get the point. But it's actually a very, that when you bring something, when something seems to be in your life, and you would like to say you have no responsibility, you have to understand that it comes from a higher level within you, even accepted that you wanted the challenge to deal with it. And I talk about this in my book, for those that are interested, which is called Rebel Gene, Secret Space. And I can tell you that, in essence, what you need to do is dialogue with self, dialogue with Source, which is within, and this is how you get to it, and macrocosm, because you can look out to see the manifestation of Source, but you can go inside also to deal with Source directly, and we are all manifestations of Source. The pattern and the process. So in essence, in dealing not only with this so-called idea of a contagion, which is nonsense, it's important to understand that we as humans here on Earth at this time, unseen from the unseen realms, we allowed in certain things to, in essence, challenge us in this game, well, I call it the game, on planet Earth. I speak in a different language than, let's say, a religious person. I did read the Bible when I was a kid, but we didn't have a Bible in our house. I had to go buy one. And I can tell you that I visited all the different churches and, you know, synagogues and Buddhist places of so-called worship religion, because my mother was a very advanced thinker. She wanted her children to have some kind of exposure to religion, wasn't sure what to do about that, and eventually landed on what is called, back then, Unitarianism, which was the most, I don't know what you want to call it, the most radical or liberal version of Christianity, I guess you can get, at least then, and so on. So I just looked at religion as what it is, in essence, a programming device and a means by which it's like a crutch. If you want to go to source and you want to understand source through religion, you can do it that way. You can go through spirituality, you can have a direct relationship with source, you can use Jesus Christ as your avatar, whatever. It you know, you can use the Pope, even though he's a reptilian being.
Yeah.
You know, you can go in whichever way you want, but to understand the programming is of paramount importance here.
Very well said. Now, to end the show tonight, I want to talk about QAnon and Trump. Now, me personally, I'm still completely on the fence with it. Ever since Trump's been in office, I've had a distrust for presidents in general. There have been very interesting things that have happened since he's took office. Things that have never happened before. There are extremely interesting things that are going on behind the scenes right now. QAnon, I'm really not sold on, but again, the information is worth looking at to me, and I do follow the information, and I love having people like yourself on to share the views, your views on the information of what's coming out. So talk a little bit about what could our possible future be if Trump and Q have a chance of making this difference that's being talked about?
Okay, you want to know what it's going to look like after?
I'd like to know, first of all, you know, what kind of solidifies your belief that this is really, that Trump is really on our side with these white hats, you know, working for the betterment of humanity, and what's the plan going forward, basically?
Okay, well, as far as I'm concerned, this effort, well, first of all, let me say this. I'm a precog, and I have dreams of the future, and I also, I'm psychic. Everyone is, but most people don't acknowledge the sides of themselves. Some people do, of course, in our sector, et cetera. But so I am very well aware of that part of myself, and that gives me information. And so in addition to the interviews I do, which I've interviewed like by now about 1,000 people or more, some who came on camera, which I have 800 video interviews, over 800, I think at this point, but and radio for 5 years. I mean, a ridiculous number of people that I've talked to, basically, for 2 hours minimum in most cases. So on top of that, I'm a precog, and I bring in my own information, and I download information, and I have reason to believe that I'm in touch with the same group of beings as Ashiana Dean, because I traveled around India with her, and when she was saying things on the bus about what they were contacting her about, I was already getting before she said it. So I knew there was some kind of, that's when I got the most validation as far as being directly in contact with that group, even though I'd read her books and so on by then and interviewed her. So, okay. So basically, looking at QAnon and Trump, there are a number of things. I use my psychic ability. I also use my downloads, and I also use information I have coming from the future. Now, I know there are multiple timelines, and for people that want to understand timelines, I recommend the Seth material, because those are the best set of books talking about the future and different timelines and how humans create timelines, etc., how they're created. And the Seth material by Jane Roberts. You can get those books. And I read that when I was 12 years old. So it changed my view of reality when I was very young. So I didn't really even, to be honest, I didn't like that idea. I mean, I like to believe that this, you know, when you're a kid, you kind of want to believe this reality is the reality. And yet at the same time, I was very aware of unseen worlds. So that's why I was driven to read something like the Seth material. And I just stumbled down and I don't even remember how. At any rate, what I'm trying to say here is that I understand when I look into the future that I've gotten certain information, and I've had a series of precog dreams of the future, some of which I really do not want to see come true. The trouble is that right now, and I've said this in a few interviews recently, some of my dreams have come true, of course, and some are very sort of basic and practical, like I dreamed that my car was going to be towed and it was. But I also get big picture dreams and get downloads of information about the future. And I have visual sort of visions, I guess you would call it, of the future. And so when I make a decision on my own about my own life, even though I've interviewed thousands of people, I actually listen to my own inner counsel. It's just the way I am. It's just the way I'm built. I would take my own information first before all of the witness information I get. And so I would certainly wrap in all these things together, compare and contrast, you know, all of that. But if it came life, death, I basically go on the way I feel and what I'm getting. So I can say that this is how I look at Trump and QAnon, how I evaluate them. And I suggest that other people out there do the same, in essence. And maybe this is just the way of evaluating information as a human. In other words, we're senders and receivers. We're always getting information. And I say in my book, by the way, that we're all in contact all the time, not only with each other, but with ETs, what we call ETs, both on and off planet, interdimensionals, etc. So we're all constantly feeding in and taking in information. And we do this because we're all telepathic. So it's not difficult. What it's difficult to do is actually tone it down and weave through it. But you are getting it whether you like it or not. You just maybe don't acknowledge it. And of course, you know, Jung, the famous philosopher, talked about this. He called it the universal mind, etc. So I think even generally mainstream people would acknowledge that there's some validity to that. And signal non-locality tells us, and scientists, that signal non-locality means that space and time are basically one. That, you know, that individuals, there's this idea of entanglement, that we are in essence all entangled. And that in their case, they did tests on embryos or whatever that were connected initially and then separated by, you know, thousands of miles around the world. And they still showed sort of an instantaneous reaction. And this, they've done experiments. David Wilcock talks about this. He basically takes, he's a synthesizer of science. So in his books, he synthesizes science and brings that forward. This information is out there. They've done tests with plants and taken a piece of a plant and that it's still reacting and so on and so. So all of this is known. In essence, what is it saying? We are connected and we are senders and receivers. So with that in mind, I look at the Trump Q stuff. And I see what is put out there. And I know very early on that the information coming from QAnon is information I have, information I'm getting from my whistleblowers, et cetera. And that it does seem to be pretty accurate. Now, I didn't listen and I haven't paid a great deal of attention as a consequence, because early on I saw that it was just talking about stuff I already knew. So that was one thing. And then the other thing is that I know for a fact, for example, that Hillary was hacking the election and that I had a whistleblower at that time. And I think, let's see, his name was Rick Davis, I believe. And ultimately, he reported to me, not only did I interview him for the, you know, for the channel, but back channel, he told me that there was a group of, in essence, what we call white hats, ex-military hackers, that were basically going in and stealing back the election from the Hillary side, and that he knew about that. Ultimately, once Trump won, shortly after that, they killed him. Trump didn't kill him, but the dark side did, for, in essence, I guess, his role in whatever group that was. I do know that the group was came out of the Navy. I know it was run by Navy Intel. So I know for a fact, you could say, that this was going on. And this particular witness also reported to certain other people that I know of, and so on. So, and there was reason to believe that this actually did. I mean, this is not a big secret that Hillary was trying to hack the election so that she could win it. And the Trump administration, by the way, has also said that. They've said it since the beginning. And the fact of the matter is Trump was winning, and all they had to do was, in theory, hack it back. But there's also reason to believe that Trump, through his lineage, through his connection with Tesla and his I think it's his grandfather or his uncle, somebody who worked with Tesla and actually took Tesla's stuff and gave it to the Illuminati, in essence. But at some point, a relationship was of, let's see, what do you call this? You know, the Illuminati have a way of dealing with people, and it's a lot like the Godfather. So they did a service to the Illuminati, the Trump family, by getting the Tesla stuff to them. So I believe that a pact was made in which they sooner or later had to kind of pay them back. And the way they paid them back, I believe, this is kind of my own theory, nobody has really talked to me about this, is through this lineage and where Trump got sort of a leg up. And certainly he fit the profile. He appeared to be one of them, but for all intents and purposes. But there probably were some leading clues early on that he might not be. And I can tell you one of them has to do with his relationship with John F. Kennedy Jr. And there are photographs of them together showing that they were good friends. Now, anyone who's a good friend of John F. Kennedy Jr. is a good friend of mine. That's my prejudice, okay? Because I'm a huge fan of Kennedy, John F. Kennedy, his, you know, father. And I watched John F. Kennedy Jr. while he was so-called alive. And I was very impressed with him and Caroline, his wife, and so on. So I see him as a good guy. So if Trump is on his side and he's on Trump's side, I'm there. You know what I'm saying? So what else can I tell you? This is the lineage. This is how, and it makes sense. Now, the QAnon stuff does have, for example, information coming out. They say they did arrests. Well, I have back channel information of very interesting information telling me that they do have all these indictments, that they wouldn't even let lawyers look at them, that they've got them locked away, that in essence, you know, this person kind of got in by nefarious means, but he validated the fact that they exist. I do know that there's one whistleblower came forward actually on, I forget which media, but and see if I can get his name right. I think Rogers is his last name. I forget what his first name is at this point, but he made a short video from Hollywood. Actually, one of the few people who's ever come forward in this sort of battle of the last 3-4 months, saying, in essence, there are arrests going on in Hollywood. Now, how he knew that, other than the fact that he lives there, I don't know. But he's a pro wrestler, as I recall. So that was kind of his ticket in to being sort of part of the in club. And he knew about, you know, these so-called parties and such and such. I worked in Hollywood for 20 years, by the way. So I have my own window on Hollywood. And I certainly know that this stuff about adrenochrome, et cetera, is perfectly in keeping with the way they think and operate, at least at the highest echelons. But I do want to say there are plenty of very good people in Hollywood as well. And it's too bad it's gotten a bad name. And one of them was me, by the way. So this is sort of the story. So I don't know if I'm answering your question sufficiently.
No, definitely. The last thing I'd like to end on is, what is your best case outlook for this? I mean, I know that we are going to have to do a shit ton of work ourselves. We're going to actually have to start standing up. More people are going to have to start waking up and resisting the tyranny that's being pushed on us. But what do you think the ultimate plan is with Trump if they were to succeed with this, if enough people do stand up and kind of fight against this? What's the best case that you can see us going?
Okay. Now, I don't know for sure. I can tell you, I've actually had dreams on a sort of a negative future in that way, in some ways. Now, whether it eventually turns around, I don't know, and how it's all going to play out, I don't know. I don't think, for example, like some people out there, that the golden age is right around the corner, okay? I do believe there that humans are, we already are an ascension planet, and we are going to ascend. You could even say, in a sense, we're ascending right now. We're going up from the third into the fourth. And there's also jumping, you know, you can jump into the sixth and so on and leave when you decide you want to leave and when you planned your death, etc. So there's that. Now, in terms of the Earth, unfortunately, my understanding of the Ashiana Dean material is they actually think Earth, and or at least a version of Earth and a version of humanity are going to devolve as opposed to evolve. I prefer not to see it that way, but I can certainly see how it could happen. Now, maybe it's just a timeline. And I can also see the opposite. I know that we're ascending. I know that there's very good signs, for example, that we are turning the tide here. We are changing the playbook. And their playbook, by the way, is the Bible. So when you think the Bible is going to come true, you're basically following, in my view, the negative Anunnaki playbook. And that's, in a sense, that's what they follow for their marching orders. So if you want to know what's going to happen, yes, you can read the Bible. But if you don't understand what you're reading in terms of the fact that it's written primarily, in my view, by the Anunnaki, by a vindictive group of individuals who wanted to dominate humans, who didn't want us to become too smart, who wanted us to basically follow their orders and worship them, then, you know, that's my take. So, which isn't to say that there isn't a positive side also of the Bible and the information, because it does relate to Creator. But most of the time when they're talking about, you know, worship me and do this, and you're sinners, and all this. This is an Anunnaki, you know, BS that came down through their being dominated by the Draco reptilians, in my view. Now, so looking towards the future, I think, first of all, July is a big marker, because in July, according to QAnon, which is obviously speaking for Trump, they're going to come forward, and Trump is supposed to announce that JFK Jr. is his running mate, and they're going to, I guess, announce more indictments, and we're supposed to hear more about them between now and then anyway. And they've got a whole list of items that they're bringing forward between now and then, and that there will supposedly be, if there's success, of course, of this group, that they will be making some announcements, major announcements, to kind of bring humanity or humans into that sort of what they've been doing more so, because they're very secretive, perhaps with good reason, one could say. But at the same time, let's say, because I abhor secrets like John F. Kennedy, I don't believe that's the way to run anything. So ultimately, I think that there needs to be an end to the secrecy. And one of the points that I like to make is that not only that can people handle the truth, but that you can't get there without us. So they like to say, well, we're not going to go there without you because you need to, you know, embody this change yourself. That's true. But I'd say you can't get there without us. There are a very large group of people that have been awake that none of this is new to, even the things I'm talking about. And that are on board understanding what this is doing. Now, we are having to, those of us who are in the know, are having to sort of watch this almost as you would a movie. Yes, we take action so and so. But we've always been taking action our whole life. So this is not new. We've been in this battle at the forefront. So we are, in essence, seeing the other side of the rest of us catch up. And that requires patience. So I do sort of see that going on. And there also are a lot of us that I think believe that we could be a lot more helpful if we were better informed and or used to further the agenda in more substantial ways, let's say. Because once people are awakened, their next step is, what do I do about it? And of course, informing each other is going on rampantly. And that's a good thing. And I applaud that. It taking action, demonstrating on the streets, etc., rejecting the tyranny is also vital. And thank God that's also happening, at least here in the United States. And I can believe that it's also happening in the rest of the world. And there will always be a clandestine resistance. And maybe necessarily so, because you can't always fight, as Sun Yat-sen would, Sue would say, you know, the art of war. We can also not always fight face to face with this evil. We also have to be intelligent, manipulative, work behind the scenes, and learn to, you know, stay alive to fight another day, as Bob Marley would say. So let me say that. And so that's what I would say for people. And I, as far as how the future looks, I don't know exactly how the future looks or when, which future we're talking about starts manifesting. I know what's supposed to happen in July. I know that we're supposed to have a completely different financial system. I'm told it's called the quantum financial system. Well, that sounds AI to me. So I've also heard there are positive AIs, and possibly, certainly the secret space program would have access to AIs and more than one. And I can say that it's perfectly possible that the Trump group is working with positively oriented ETs and who bring AI with them. And that we could get a different system than we even envision at this point. What it's going to look like, how it's going to operate, I don't know. And so on. But, you know, we're still in the midst of battle here. So when I look at the future, I think the future is important, but I think what really matters is now. And I think people need to realize that it's how you treat your children now. It's how you educate them now. And I applaud David Icke, by the way, for emphasizing the fact that the information and the way you deal with it is going to be reflected in generations to come. So I think that's really, really important. And if you go around with your head down and you don't talk to your fellow man and you wear these masks even out in public where they don't arrest you and they, you know, you can't go to parks and you can't go to the beach and you can't do this and you can't do that. You have to draw the line somewhere, and you have to also probably raise children to have what is in essence what I say is the rebel gene, which is why I wrote my book to begin with and named it that. Because we're talking about the time back, and you know, the Anunnaki did not create humans, but they did interfere with our genome, and they did it through genetic, manipulation. And there is said to be through Enki, a group of us who were given, were allowed to keep, in essence, our rebel gene, and another group that were basically where it was taken away, and they turned into administrators through Enlil. And those are the people that follow orders. So which kind of children do you want to raise? What kind of society do you want to see in the future, et cetera? These are decisions to make now. So I don't spend my days looking at the future. I actually, although I do have dreams of it, I look at now.
That is very well said. Carrie, thank you so much for coming on today. Fantastic information. Please, everybody share this. I'm sure we're going to have you back on for more updates in the future. Thanks again, and please enjoy the rest of your day, Carrie.
Thank you. Thank you very much.